number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It's funny because that's actually kind of where we're going here, the whole kissing Bill Belichick's ass part. Because last night, as you know, Monday Night Football, hear it right here on Sports Radio, Westwood One. And a regular weekly component of that is Tom Brady visiting with Scratchy, Jim Gray.
A great tradition, just like the Rose Bowl.
So now they do a pregame hit, and then they do a halftime hit, which means Tom's got to stay up later than normal, I guess.
Yeah, that is weird.
2 days a week, right? Because he does Thursday night football,
that can't
too.
Be good for his sleep schedule. I think maybe he slips in a nap somewhere on those days. Don't you think?
Well, I mean, it seems to me that the guy's got to get his rest, and Scratchy's kind of keeping him from doing that. Let's hear what he says.
Tom, I don't recall seeing a worse way to lose than what happened to you guys yesterday with that miracle in Miami. First of all, did you sleep last night?
Not much. That was a tough one for us to fly home on. I don't think anyone slept well last night. Losing to them is always tough, and losing to them in Miami, which hasn't been our most favorable place to play, but you can learn from losing, obviously, a lot more than learn from winning, and we're in a decent position, and we got our whole season ahead of us, and you know, we got to go out and put together a great week and get back on track.
That is a very positive spin.
Boy,
we got our whole season ahead of us. It's like, yeah, you may have
got three games,
lost home field advantage.
Yeah,
without, you know,
I'd make the rest of the. So this whole thing kind of went off the rails a little bit because Jim wanted to ask Tom about coaches. And whether or not coaches get graded the same way players do.
Tom, the players are graded after every game, correct?
Yeah, in one form or another, we are, by our coaches and by ourselves.
Are the coaches graded?
I'm not sure where you're going with this, Scratchy.
Well, if the players get graded, is the coaching staff graded and the coaches?
I think, you know, we're all tough on ourselves. The coaches are, players are. We're all in it together. This is the one thing we've never done at the Patriots is assess blame and do all that. We're all in it together. We had plenty of things we could all have done a better job of to try to get the job done, which we didn't do.
So that's a no. Do the coaches get graded? No.
Well, the first coaches of all, grade the players. Who's going to grade them?
I mean, Brady could judge those guys.
Hey,
why not?
Bill, you want to come in here for a minute?
You were not great.
Kind of go over that end of that game, Bill.
Like, yeah, he does know where you're going. Because Belichick, what would Belichick's grade be for that game?
Well, if you read the Herald today,
yes.
Kevin Duffy does his report card in the Herald. He gave Belichick a D.
D sounds about right.
And I'm probably okay with that.
D sounds about right. It's passing, but barely.
Are the coaches graded?
I'm not sure where you're going with this, Scratchy.
Scratchy. You know exactly where he's going with this.
Well, and do you honestly think that I'm sure the coaches grade themselves.
Yeah.
They get in a room and they say, hey, what did you think? What did we do right? What did we do wrong? They do all that. They don't share it with anybody.
Do you think Scratchy went off script there, or do you think that Brady was just trying to give it a natural answer? Because he knows every question that's coming his way.
Does he?
Yes.
I'm not sure where you're going with this, Scratchy.
He knows exactly where he's going with that.
If he knew the question ahead of time, why that answer?
To make it sound like he doesn't. Don't you think? Because you hear that and you're like,
He picked this one as the question.
Do you not think the questions are like he knows what they are ahead of time?
I think he might know direction.
Yeah.
I doubt that he's handed a script that says, okay, question one. That's what Mike Greenberg does. You know, question one is this. Then
I think he does. I would be more convinced that he gets word for word what the questions are compared to he has no idea. And maybe there is sort of a gray area where, like you said, he gets like bullet points, but I think he knows. And he was just trying to, I think that was part of his answer. I think that's just what he was going to say. Because the answer is no. But if he just says flat out no, then people can read into it like, oh, well, maybe they should. Or like, what would you give Belichick? Couldn't have been very good. Because who was worse for themselves on Sunday? Brady or Belichick? Brady had the bonehead play in forgetting the timeouts, or at least that's what he said to us or to everybody. And
freely admitted it.
But Belichick was worse for what he is, for being the best coach in the league. For that decision at the end of the game, that takes you down to a D if you want to go that. Whereas Brady had a great first half, maybe the best first half he's had all season. Second half, unfortunately, they weren't able to get anything going. After he went down holding the knee brace, he wasn't as good. But overall, Brady was closer to Tom Brady than Belichick was to Belichick.
In fact, Brady was really good.
That's what I'm saying.
Most of the first half.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to Scratchy asking Brady what Belichick's message was after the game.
What did Coach Belichick say to you guys after that loss? What did he say today and yesterday?
You know, one thing about Coach Belichick is he's so even keeled. You know, when we win, you know, he brings us back down to earth. When we lose, you know, he tells us the truth. That's what we like about him. And we don't always do the right things as players. You know, he knows that. You know, everyone's trying to get it right. You know, the reality is that's not sports.
Do you think Brady really likes when he tells the truth, when Belichick tells the truth? He goes, that's what we like about him. Like, I don't know. I feel like some of the issues that everybody has been reporting on the last couple of years, maybe because he tells the truth a little too much.
All right, so in answer to your, or partial answer to your question about, you know, do you think Tom knows exactly what's coming?
Yeah.
You get this.
Tom, how much you enjoyed doing the show this evening?
I know, you know, that you're typically badgering me like usual, and I'm usually not in the best of mood. You're finding a way to just tweak me a little bit, which I'm not enjoying.
Yeah, I think it's all just a play.
That sounded fake.
Yeah, like the whole thing is just such a put on.
That part sounded
the whole thing is
totally fake.
I mean, he knows ahead of time. Now, I will give him credit. You know, we've played back a lot of these cuts throughout the years that he's been doing it with Gray, and he usually doesn't leave any questions out. Now, he doesn't always follow up the way that you might expect, but you know, during the whole Deflategate thing or during all these different things that Brady has had to deal with, Gray at least asked him the questions.
And
you know,
along those lines, he asked this one.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue along those lines. Tom, what happened at the end of the first half?
Oh, great. You know, it was just a... Oh, great. You know, it was just a bad play by me. I was thinking about a couple other things and, you know, lost track of the most important thing, which was the fact that we didn't have any timeouts left. And I was probably aware of that on the first down play, which is why I threw it away, and aware of it on the second down play when I got it out when they blitzed, and I just lost track on the third down play as I was trying to figure out how to score a touchdown, and just ended up being a play that should never happen from my standpoint.
Hold on. What did he say at the beginning? I was thinking of some other thing.
Half.
After the slap and tackle.
You know, it was just a bad play by me. I was thinking about a couple other things.
Stop. What else was he thinking about?
Well,
I was thinking about a couple of other things.
I assume what he's talking about is a couple of different plays and...
Yeah, but you okay? You have
I don't
to,
think he's thinking about. Did I get the Aston Martin clean today?
Maybe he was. Like you gotta. You don't have any timeouts. You gotta get rid of the ball. You gotta throw the ball into the end zone, and either it's a touchdown or it's incomplete, and then you can kick a field goal. What more is there?
I wonder if he also lost track of the down.
Oh, I mean,
he lost track of the timeouts. I also wonder if he lost track of the down. Because, you know, even if he had time, you can't clock it at that point because guess what? It's fourth.
So, serious question. Remember when Giselle said that he has concussions all the time?
Yes.
Remember? And we were like, well, you know, he's not on the injury report for concussions. But at the same time, I believed her. And then he had to sort of backtrack and say, you know, what, you know, whatever it was. But I still believe her. Like, could he have a concussion? Like, how else would Tom Brady forget how many timeouts there were? Or I was thinking of other stuff. Like, did he get hit in the head? Did we miss it? That's like the only explanation I can have for a guy who's been in the league for 20 years to forget how many timeouts there were. That's such a rookie quarterback mistake. And for him to admit afterwards, yeah, I forgot how many timeouts. It's like, well, were you like seeing stars or something? Like, I wouldn't. I mean, if we found out in like 5 weeks, oh, yeah, in the game against Miami, he had a concussion. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I didn't see anything that made me think that, but. I guess it's entirely possible. So as I said, they talk pregame, and then they talk again at halftime. So this is how the pregame segment of their discussion ended.
Why do they?
Because we can talk about the Seahawks and the Vikings.
Yeah, we're not talking about this game anymore. Moving past this, thankfully, and we're putting this one to bed.
Now I love Tom Brady. You love Tom Brady. Rossi loves Tom Brady. Lucy loves. Everybody loves Tom Brady. Do you really need two interviews a night?
Well. At halftime, I guess they talk about the first half, so...
So, yes?
I don't know.
I would say no.
Well, from a radio standpoint, if you're listening to the game, what are you going to listen to at halftime and before the game that's actually going to grab you and keep you listening?
I know, but just like, you need to have them on there twice.
Well, wait a minute.
It's halftime. What are you listening to?
In answer to your question, yes. Tom Brady is on with Mutt and Callahan in the morning.
Yeah.
Then we play part of it again during the midday show.
Yeah, but then we react to it. We're not just playing it and like, oh, there it is. Like, let's talk about the Red Sox. Like, no, we react to what he was saying. I'm just saying, how many more questions do you have for him at halftime?
Would you rather Tom Brady or Larry Fitzgerald? Who are you listening to?
Well, the guy who graduated from the University of Online Computer School, I would take him.
I'm going with Tom Brady.
Fitzgerald, he's very provocative. Remember those shocking statements that he said that one time?
No.
He had a lot of things to say. Do you have any Larry Fitzgerald? I didn't think so. It was probably too risky to play on the radio.
In answer to your question,
yeah,
if you have him on at halftime, you get radio that sounds like this.
Tom, you've won an awful lot of games. You've lost your share as well. Won a heck of a lot more than you've lost. But what stays with you more, the big wins or the heartbreaking losses?
I mean, you couldn't have asked that in the pregame.
Tom? Mr. Brady. We've lost Tom Brady.
Oh, boy.
Okie doke. Our score at the half is the Seattle Seahawks 3, the Vikings 1.
Line.
We will come back with much, much more on the Morton Steakhouse Halftime Report, and we will try.
Oh, boy. So I guess then, they didn't pre-record that one.
No, that was like Glenn going into the real postgame.
What we want to know here is, obviously, A, they didn't pre-record it, needless to say, and B, did Brady hang up on him? Was he upset?
Well,
did Brady not want to hear the line of questioning? Well,
we're at halftime. Our score is the Seahawks 3, the Vikings nothing. Reestablish contact here with Tom Brady. Tom, did you hang up with me because you didn't like the question?
You know, usually I would like to hang up on you with some of the questions you badger me with, but this wasn't one of those examples.
These are the best buds. They are just the two best friends that anybody could have.
Tom?
Good for them.
Mr. Brady.
Hello.
Guys.
Kidoke.
I don't hear Tom.
Half. We've lost Tom Brady.
What a barn burner. What was that at the half? It was like 7-0 in that
game.
3-0.
Nothing.
Oh, it was torture.
And you're worried about listening to Tom Brady. I would have listened to Tom Brady the whole first half.
I like listening to Tom Brady. My question is, like, you have to have him on twice?
Tom?
Like, just let him, I guess, host the show then.
Mr.
Let him, let him be part of the pre and post game.
Now, as we said yesterday,
Kidoke.
I did not believe Tom Brady. I did not believe that he forgot how
the timeout thing.
Right. Because if he thought he had a timeout,
he would have tried
the minute
to
he hit the
one.
Ground, wouldn't he have popped up and signaled timeout, timeout?
But
which he didn't do. I didn't believe him anyway.
But doesn't he have to know? It's worse to think you have no timeouts, I think, than to take the sack. That's what I think. Like, taking the sack is kind of a it is part mental, but it's also a physical thing. Like, all of a sudden, like, you can't get out of there. You don't want to throw a pick, and all of a sudden, defenders are on you, and you're down. It's not ideal. It is part mental, but the timeout thing is 100% mental. And for him, you think he's better than everybody by a long shot.
And he almost always is. I mean, he's really good at that stuff. He doesn't make mental mistakes. He'll make physical mistakes. Everybody does.
Sure.
He doesn't make many mental mistakes.
And that's why by saying the after the game that, I lost track of timeouts, like, that actually makes me feel worse about it.
See, I think he just I think the mental mistake he made was he didn't get rid of the football, and he realized, oh crap,
yeah,
because he didn't pop up. But
why
and
wouldn't
yell
you? Why wouldn't you just say like, yeah, I needed to let that one go. I needed to throw the ball away, and I didn't.
I don't know. I mean, what as you said, what's a worst explanation?
Timeouts.
Yeah,
timeouts is worse. But he's going with that, even though, again, there's a lot of evidence of him getting up. And the whole team kind of just, like, walked off the field. Like, they just knew. They're like, ugh, sucks. Nobody was running for timeouts. Nobody thought they had timeouts.
Because
it was pretty clear. It was probably in the huddle. They were probably like, no timeouts.
I think his mental mistake was not timeouts. It was not getting rid of the football.
Yeah.
That's the mental mistake. And he'd rather fall on the sword of the timeouts thing.
Which makes no sense to
than
me.
Than fall on the sword of, you know what,
I
screwed up.
Yeah, right.
I just should have gotten rid of the football. Either one is admitting a mistake, but I think he admitted to the wrong mistake. 617-779-7937. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up. We get right to your calls on the other side. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Tom, Mr. Brady. We've lost Tom Brady. Kidoke?
Hit us up on Twitter, at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes,
Kiefer.
I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now?
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness.
I hate Rich Keefe's guts.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
I love hot wieners.
Red Sox take 3 out of 4.
And the latest challenge involves condoms.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
Here we go. It is a noon tardy on a Tuesday. That, of course, means it's time for Kiefer
Madness. I always hope those aren't related.
What?
All those cuts.
They are.
I always hope that they're not.
There's always a theme. I need people to sort of put the clues together, and you can always solve. It's like a riddle mixed in there.
But Lucy's hoping.
The challenge involves condoms.
I bet Lucy's hoping they're not related too. But
well, they might be.
Okay.
I love hot wieners.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, the NBA is a hotbed for conspiracy theories, Dale. They absolutely are. We have heard from some of these gentlemen in the past, like a Jordan Clarkson. I don't know if you're familiar with Jordan Clarkson.
First, bruh, the flag was moving.
Of course, talking about the moon landing there. Uh-huh. First thing, bruh, is the flag.
I don't believe when they went to the moon. I think they was in a studio in Hollywood.
That's Jordan Clarkson from the Cleveland Cavaliers, formerly of the L.A. Lakers. He also had some interesting takes on dinosaurs.
I think it was bigger people in the world before us. And, like, the dinosaurs was they pets.
That might be the greatest thing of all time.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, that was his
here,
take
boy.
There.
Come on.
Yeah, that was
come on.
Very, very confusing.
Oh, you look at a dinosaur, they got to be three times bigger than them.
Got to be.
That's huge people. How come we haven't found any of those bones?
I don't know.
The giant people bones
I don't understand.
I think it was bigger people in the world before us. Okay. And like the dinosaurs was they pets.
Well, and then famously, the guy that we have here, Well, they do say the Velociraptor is actually not as big as they portray in the Jurassic Park films.
How about the Brontosaurus Rex?
That's pretty big. That's a good size. Well, some of those are also, just for the film, Dale, if you can believe it.
What?
Yes. Some of them are. Some of them are.
So how big are they saying these dinosaurs are?
The Velociraptor is actually the size of like a turkey. Yeah, give that a bing, Rossi. It'll blow your mind.
A turkey that can rip your guts out.
Yeah, so the Velociraptor they had some fun with, but like a T-Rex is legitimately huge. Like they did that. If it's real. Now our own guy here, Kyrie Irving,
sort of evidence of the being real.
There is some bones. That's true.
Yeah, okay. No, the Earth is flat.
Oh, here we go.
The Earth is flat. Earth is flat.
We, of course, had this. This was before Kyrie Irving joined the Celtics.
Anything that you have a particular question on, okay. Is the world flat? Is the Earth flat or round? Yeah. I think you need to do research on it.
So look how much disdain he has for
round. It could be both flat and round.
Blew my mind.
Well, no, I mean,
can it?
Yes, you could have a round circle that's a piece of paper that's flat and round. Now it can't be a globe.
Wait, what? Say that again.
Yeah, flat and round. Can't it be both.
If you cut a circle out of a piece of paper,
it
would be both flat and round.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Technically, isn't it just flat? Or you mean
the circle is round?
I see where Dale's going. I don't know what it has to do with the Earth.
I don't know about this. I don't know how I feel about it either.
He's poking holes in all.
Think about it from the landscape of the way we travel, the way we move, and the fact that can you really think of us rotating around the sun and all planets aligned, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular with what's going on with these planets and stuff like this.
How are you going to put planets in quotations?
I'm going to put planets because everything that they send or they want to say that they're sending.
They thought Pluto was a planet until like 4 years ago.
It doesn't come back. There's no concrete information except for the information that they're giving us.
So Kyrie has also come out and apologized for these comments. And so he's not a flat earther anymore, apparently. But what it is, Dale, is all these guys in the NBA, they all have their own podcast.
They're all whacked.
So they're on the road, they start recording podcasts, and I swear, now I think, I could be wrong, I think weed is still illegal in the NBA.
Maybe.
On the court, yes.
Now the Jailblazers, they proved then that it was illegal. I know it's legal in some states, but this is a podcast called Winging It.
Oh, I know. See, I actually had pulled this aside what else you got, because I was going to jump all over your case
stuff. So Vince Carter and Kent Bazemore, I believe, host the podcast. I think they have another host in there as well.
I was just wondering what Kent Bazemore was doing.
Good news for you, Dale.
Yeah,
doing a podcast with Vince. And they had Andre Iguodala and, famously making the rounds now, Steph Curry is on this podcast. We'll get to the big thing that Curry said, but first, just to get a sense of what these guys are doing, and also try to prove to me that they're not all high.
Hey, man.
Yeah, you know it.
That's hilarious. That's somebody that smoked weed question.
Answers your question.
Now you're just on the nose about it, fellas. It's like, don't you have a game to play?
Answered
like, what are we,
your question
what are we
right
doing
now. Yeah.
Now, I think it should be legal.
Kent Bazemore can toke up all he wants, right?
No, I don't think so. He's playing too.
That's somebody that smoked weed question.
Play more?
No, somebody said, you know, those memes with somebody smoking. Somebody said, wait, how do you know what sound a dinosaur has made in these movies?
How do they know what kind of sounds these dinosaurs
they
make?
They freely admit they don't know and that they've just manufactured
they've
these sounds.
They kind of made some noises like, arr, arr, arr.
I don't believe a dinosaur ever.
That is one.
Ever made the sound of a seal.
That was one that was getting choked out. That was the... That's exactly what it sounded like.
Oh,
I said, damn. How do they know what sound dinosaurs made?
Somebody could actually like transcribe what the sound like, and they just on a cable walk, somewhere. Like,
I don't know if they transcribe what the sound sounds like.
How do you transcribe sound?
You don't.
I don't know. I'm telling you, these guys are so high right now. They have no idea what they're even talking about.
You can't tell
because we don't know.
A bone don't tell you what the sound is, right?
Right. We ever been to the moon?
So here we go. Now let's just get to it, the guy said. So, yes. Oh, what? Ross, you want to talk about
that? Play that again, because talk about a non sequitur.
Oh,
a bone doesn't tell you what a sound sounds like.
Talking about what sound does a dinosaur make, which is a great conversation to have, by the way. I think I could definitely do this for hours. And so they're doing that, and they never really solved it. And then they just jump out to, really, let's face it, a much more important question.
A bone don't tell you what a sound is, right?
Right. We ever been to the moon?
So that's not edited. That's what that we didn't cut anything out.
Zoop, zoop, zoop.
Like, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, ever been to the moon? So now you got a room of, five people sitting in a room, and one person asked the question, have we ever been to the moon?
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
Nope.
These are my people, Dale. These are my people. No. No. No, just straight up no. We have not been to the moon. And then
we ever been to the moon?
Nope.
All right, they're gonna dig into this. Let's see where it goes, including Steph Curry. I think you'll be able to identify Curry's voice.
They gonna come get us. I don't think so.
I'm conspiracy.
Sorry, I don't start the conspiracies. They ain't been on the moon.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. Stanley, you gotta do the research on Stanley Kubrick.
This big back then.
Dropped a Stanley Kubrick in there. These guys know. They know. Stanley Kubrick filmed one of the great films in the history of Stanley Kubrick's filmography would be the moon landing.
Bro, are you talking about we took something to the moon? I don't think so.
I had a bag full.
No.
These guys aren't listening to each other. The one guy's talking about dinosaur sounds. One guy's talking about the moon. Now this guy has a bag phone?
They're all having their own Christian Fourier squirrel moments.
It is. Each and every one of them. Like, guys, what are we getting at here?
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
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 Bro, are you talking about we took something to the moon? I don't think so.
I had a bag phone.
This is
Would you like to maybe hold on to that for a minute? Maybe next episode we can get to that. We have a lot more to unpack here about the moon landing. Curry they didn't really get to go into why he doesn't think it happened. This guy's got a bag phone. What the hell is a bag phone?
Well, they tell you about
that.
Okay.
I had a bag phone.
No.
What?
With the
cell phone, the bag, the cell phone.
Oh,
with
you had
the bag.
Phone?
I thought we were talking about like not the Roxbury type phone, but not like
the one you had in the car.
Yeah, the bag. It was a little bag in it.
Oh, you put it in the center console?
Yeah,
my grandpa had one of those.
Yeah, we had one.
Oh, you just threw that in there.
No, but
I know what you're going down.
Yeah, wait, but could you take it out of the car?
Yeah, but you plug it in. So that was like. Right, how you ride
in
the
cigarette lighter.
Like, yeah, he's riding a cigarette lighter. Yeah. That's how you got around.
Okay, which which podcast makes more sense, this one or M&M Investments?
Oof, I think this one is going to have more episodes. That's the one thing I feel safe about.
I have no idea.
These guys are so high, Dale. Like, there's no way they're not. Like, they're just all, they're talking about these great topics, but they're not even giving them time to discuss them. They're just going from one thing to the next. You're like, guys, figure it out.
This is the issue with podcasting. Like, obviously, these guys are famous and are on television, so this thing's going to get millions of listens.
Oh, million! And it's already. Did you see NASA has come out?
They've already.
They told, hey, Curry.
Alan Butel, the spokesperson for NASA, told TMZ Sports they want to invite Steph to visit
their
lunar labs at the Johnson Space Center in Houston to see all the evidence that proves the moon landing really happened.
Somebody's a little sensitive.
Mr. Butel said there's lots of evidence NASA landed 12 American astronauts on the moon from 1969 to 1972.
They're feeling the heat.
We'd love for Mr. Curry to tour the Lunar Lab at our Johnson Space Center in Houston.
Lunar Lab's not
perhaps
convince
the
them.
Next time the Warriors are in town to play the Rockets.
Not going to convince them.
Hundreds of pounds of moon rocks, by the way.
Yeah, great.
Just a question here. What was the years again until 72?
69 to 72 is when they were landing people on the moon.
Why don't we do it anymore?
Because they know everything there possibly is to know about the moon, apparently.
And Stanley Kubrick was asking for too much money.
Yeah. He's like, guys, we already did it. We already did it. We convinced him. Russia recently says they are now going to try to confirm whether or not America went to the moon.
Yeah, because we have a lot of good relationship there. That's...
Well, we may even end up funding it. Who knows?
But honestly, I think about that. Like, if there is a conspiracy theory, I know where Keith is.
If there's a conspiracy theory?
Well, cause,
it's one of the greatest conspiracy theories in the world.
Whether you believe the conspiracy theory, I can understand. But this makes me lean towards it. This didn't happen.
Yeah.
Why,
Thank you, Russell. Technology now?
Thank
you. You, me, Steph Curry, Carl Everett, probably others.
Dale?
Dale?
What?
Question mark? Are you on our side?
No.
A bone don't tell you what the sound is, right?
Right.
He's on your side.
Been to the moon?
You ever been to the moon?
Nope.
Nope.
I guess Steph Curry.
Bone don't tell you the sound. That guy's on your side.
Oh, I don't know. Former NBA MVP Steph Curry.
Doesn't
ever
mean
hear
he
him?
Can't be dumb as a stump.
Did you ever hear of him?
A bone don't tell you what the sound is, right?
Right. We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
It was pretty it was pretty unanimous in there. Those guys were just like no. Pretty sensitive. Oh, there's a good... Actually, it's not great, but on Netflix, there's like a whole conspiracy theory season, or what would you show?
Conspiracies.
Like a show. Conspiracies is what it's called. And one of them, obviously, is on the moon landing. And one of it's this guy. He admittedly is pretty obnoxious, but he like goes up to Buzz Aldrin, and he's like, "You've never been to the moon." And Buzz Aldrin punches this guy in the face.
Good.
Yeah, good, because
Buzz.
Is that how you would respond to something?
Yes, damn
no,
it.
You wouldn't.
Dale, if I came up to you and said, "You weren't at the Bruins tomorrow, I come in,
that's not quite as big a deal as being on the moon.
Yeah. But you were there, right? You were at the Bruins game?
Yes.
So then why would you punch me in the face?
I'm like, you never wrote a book, Dale. You've never written a book. And then you'd go, get over here, I'll kill you. Like, no, you wouldn't. You'd go like, yeah, I have. There's proof right here. Here's proof. I've been to the moon. Like, ah-ha-ha-ha. You wouldn't lose your mind.
People like you have basically completely gutted the greatest achievement of Buzz Aldrin's life.
Well,
and so he's sick and tired of it.
Or was he getting credit for something he never did?
Punch you in the face, too.
Who, Buzz?
I might not be with us
anymore.
I'm not sure.
Buzz is alive.
Okay, good.
Buzz is alive. Rossi's confirming right now. He's efforting right now. Buzz, he's with us, right?
Oh, good.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, doing real well. Punching people. That's how he's upset.
88 years young.
And ready
not
to
bad.
Take Keith and roll around in the
Let's
dirt.
Let's do it.
Him.
Anytime,
If
Buzz.
There's proof he didn't go to the moon, we should send him to the moon.
Oh, that'd be good. As punishment.
How would you have proof that something didn't happen?
Well, somebody would have to admit Stanley Kubrick.
I'm going to go way out on a limb and suggest that if that were all true, we'd have heard about it by now.
Well, you like to think so, Dale. But
it's been a while. Somebody
I don't know.
Would
what about
all the
alien stuff? All the alien stuff is real. We haven't been confirmed all that stuff.
So you believe in aliens, but not in moon landings?
Yeah. Well, we haven't been to the moon, but aliens probably have. They've come from there. Who's to say? The Greata Treaty, all that. It's real.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I just don't even want to.
Okay.
6-1.
No, but seriously, I wake up sometimes. I go outside and, I go outside and I look and then I tell them, if they're out there, just beam me up already. Like, good point by Kyrie.
Yeah.
Just beam me up if you could. You get a chance.
They're all just, they're doing these podcasts and it's like, I can say something dumber than you.
Say whatever you want.
No. I can get way dumber than you were.
I just wish they would listen to each other. Just go from one topic to the next. It's like, all right, guys.
But Kyrie, since he's come to Boston, maybe a smarter man.
Backing away from a lot of that,
isn't he?
He's
done with the flat earth stuff. He is. Yeah, he's given up on it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe and the moon landing. Sports Radio, WEEI.
I think it was bigger people in the world before us. And like the dinosaurs was, they pets.
Yeah, no, the earth is flat.
Oh, here we go.
The earth is flat.
I don't believe when they went to the moon. I think there was... In a studio in Hollywood.
A bone don't tell you what the sound is, right?
Right. We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
Nope.
Follow Dale on Twitter
at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Michael's on the cell phone. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Excellent. Yeah, I had a take on the Tom Brady timeout situation. I agree with you, Dale. I think he's lying. When I watched that play on the TV, I saw Chris Hogan coming across the middle of the back of the end zone, right to left, and it looked like he got grabbed, but there was no call. And I think Tom was holding the ball for a split second, trying to get it to him, and just took the sack and didn't really know, you know, I think he just made a big mistake.
And the most evidence I have in this whole thing is, if you think you have a timeout, why didn't you call it?
Yeah, that's what's weird about it, because he clearly made a mistake. It's just which one, and why would you want to admit that you didn't know how many timeouts? I don't think that helps the situation.
No, I don't think Brady would forget that he has no timeouts. It just doesn't seem possible. Seem possible that he would go back to Chris Hogan, because I'm pretty sure he missed him on the play before, correct?
Yes, he did. It was like a
right. And
if he stood in there a little bit longer, he might. Yeah.
All the time. He always goes back. If he misses something the previous play, he'll give it another look the next time. And it looked like they missed a call, because it looked like he got grabbed in the back of the end zone. And I think he might have been looking around for a flag when he got sacked.
Yeah, I mean, that's entirely possible. I guess if you're Tom Brady, do you want to stand at the podium and say, you know what, I screwed up. I thought we had another timeout, which is the path he took.
Yeah.
Or do you want to stand at the podium and say, you know what, I got to get rid of the ball. I should have gotten rid of it.
That.
I can't take the sack there. To me, that's less.
Right.
That's okay. I made a physical mistake.
Those things kind of happen, and it's almost even more of a credit to the defense type of thing. And you're like, hey, they made a hell of a play. I should have gotten rid of it. So no matter what, you're making a mistake. But the other thing is more out of character. Like, out of all the guys in the league, to forget how many timeouts there are?
I mean,
like, what?
To your point earlier, and I know you were kind of half-joking about, you know, was he concussed or something?
No, I'm not even joking. Because we don't know. And just because the guy's not diagnosed with one doesn't mean he didn't get one. They're playing football out there. And I don't remember.
Does that help explain the second half performance? If your theory's right.
Yeah.
You know, you go out there and you're flinging the ball around the lot in the first half and they can't stop you. Second half, you score two field goals and that's it.
It could. I mean, that and now the one thing we did see him down on the field was adjusting the knee brace.
And that was pretty clear.
And so that was definitely
his explanation for that. Once you saw the footage and married it up to what he said, you said, okay.
But if you go back to every time he got hit in the game and every time he landed on the ground, you never know. Like, you could bump your head and we don't really see it while you're watching the game live. So I would never be surprised if any quarterback at any time was dealing with something like that. But the numbers also take a steep decline after he was fidgeting with the knee. Hannibal had the numbers. He was lights out. All of his touchdowns, his completion percentage was really high. And then following adjusting with the knee, I mean, it's really almost first half to second half. Like, it's also pretty dramatic.
We'll play it out. Let's say that, you know, he had a concussion. If the Patriots knew it, they probably wouldn't have let him go to the podium after the game. Now, he kept it fairly short, but Belichick kept his fairly short as well. Maybe it's possible he was concussed and just hit it from the trainers and the doctors. And
now, the game in which he left the Titans game, that was the knee injury. That's where this thing all popped up. And you remember, we think it was when they threw the ball to him and he got tackled. Like that. So he left that game about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Hoyer came in. And you could say, oh, well, maybe it's just a blowout. Or was the knee to the point where, hey, you don't want him to go. And then he still did the post-game press conference then. So as long as he's not an absolute mess, I think you do the post-game press conference and it's less attention on it.
We have a texter who I just don't think really watches the games that closely.
Well, that's probably
texter
true.
Texter says, when's the last time you saw Brady call a timeout? The Pats always call the timeouts from the sideline. That's not true.
I've seen Brady call timeouts a lot. Yeah, I've seen him run right up to the ref and call timeouts. We've seen him call timeouts.
And in the scenario we just described, if he had a timeout left, he couldn't have waited for Belichick to call it. He would have bounced right up and immediately made the timeout signal, which, by the way, he does all the time.
And guess what? Both of them can do it. The ref will see one of them and we'll use it.
Well, you see the play clock running down to zero, you know, 3, 2, 1, and he's calling timeout.
We've seen him call timeout.
A lot of times.
Plenty of times. So that, you can't put that one in there. Yeah, it was a weird series of events at the end. And then if you see Brady, how he reacted after he got tackled, it doesn't really line up with what he said postgame.
Didn't make sense.
No.
I mean, a lot about that game didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Brian Flores, because the coordinators are made available to the media.
Even if you're not technically the coordinator?
Well, technically, yeah. on the conference call today, he was asked about why was Gronkowski in the game over Devin McCourty.
Great question.
He said, quote, "You know, I understand why you're asking that, but I would just say for us, that is on us as a coaching staff. It happened. We wished it hadn't. We've watched it. We've corrected it as a staff. We've corrected it with the team. Really, honestly, we have to move on to Pittsburgh. So if that situation shows up again, I think we'll handle it better."
Wow. That's as close as we screwed up. He shouldn't have been out there. McCourty should have been.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's as clear cut as I think you're going to get with anybody on the coaching staff, because that is admitting that they screwed that up. And again, you might see it again. You mean the Steelers?
He'll never get the defensive coordinator's job here now.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe he'll just have to settle for a head coaching job somewhere. But you know, you watch the play a million times, and it never made any sense. And then even, you know, much like we were talking about Brady's reaction or his response to what happened at the end of the first half, it was similar with Belichick post game about the last play of the game. Just didn't want to go there. But then Flores, that's just pretty much just flat out admitting that they were wrong as you're going to get. And so if you do see another Hail Mary or Desperado situation, Rob Gronkowski not going to be out there.
Billy McGinnis dropped it on us today, too.
Desperado.
Everybody knew about it except us.
I feel like I've been watching football for a long time, and I'm not familiar with Desperado. What am I missing? Hook and Ladder. I got the Hook and Ladder. The Annexation of Puerto Rico. Got that one. Where on earth was the Desperado all these years?
How did we miss that one?
I don't know.
It's an internal term, they say. So, like,
internal where?
Like, all football teams know, but they don't actually outwardly call it that play.
No, but it's like, I don't want, onside kick isn't the right expression, but it's basically, it's like Hail Mary. Like, Hail Mary is, everybody knows what a Hail Mary is. Desperado, everybody knows what a Desperado is, no?
The claim on Hail Mary was something that was created by commentators and people watching the games.
Yeah, but
where Desperado is the name of it internally, like inside football terms.
Oh, we're going inside football. See, we're outside football.
We are way outside football.
The four of us are outside football.
But, Rich, you played at the highest level.
Well, you keep telling people that, Dale, but it's obviously not true. We didn't run a Desperado. We didn't have it.
Didn't even have the term?
I don't remember.
You guys were never behind.
I never. That's true. We had no need for it. I don't remember ever calling it that. Ever. Like, Hail Mary is one thing. And I understand this is different because you're not just chucking it into the end zone. But I get, hey, you learn something every day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had the Desperado play. That's when we put Rossi in.
Dave's up in Maine. Hey, David.
Hi.
Hi.
Couple of questions, and then the first question is, why didn't Belichick go for a two-point conversion a couple of times on those touchdowns? An extra point would have made a big difference at the end of the game.
Because generally speaking, you don't until you have to.
I thought it was too early. You want them to, like, right away, once they miss the extra point, you want them to go for it there?
Well, particularly after he missed the field goal, I think.
I personally don't like going for two until the fourth quarter. I think you want to be able to guarantee as many points, and I know you're saying that after the guy missed an extra point, but
sure.
Get as many points as you can because you don't know how it's going to go. If the Dolphins start settling for field goals, well, all of a sudden, you know, you're down by six instead of seven or whatever it ends up being because you're chasing points the whole time. I don't like going for it until the fourth quarter. And they didn't score a touchdown in the second half. So if they did go for two, all of that would have come in the first half.
That's true.
But
okay.
I mean, it's a fair question because I feel like that does get brought up a lot anytime a team misses an extra point and you're like, all right, it's 7-6. But you scored a touchdown, so you feel like you shouldn't be down. So you better go for two the next time because then you can tie it when they score a touchdown. But what if they don't? What if they kick a field goal and then you missed it? And now instead of being down a touchdown, now you have to go for two again. Or you end up chasing points. So
and
I'm
generally
a big opponent of fourth quarter only.
Coaches always say you never go for two until you have to go for two.
Yeah.
And in the first half, you definitely don't have to go for
two. And both teams were scoring points, and I just – so eventually I think you were fine. Now, there's always – I don't know if it's just a hard and fast rule that you don't go till the fourth quarter. That's how I would look at it. Now, say your team is down 8-0 and you're getting nothing going all game long. You know, third quarter, you score, and you're like, our offense sucks. We might as well go for two right now and tie it. Okay, that's one thing. But the way the game was going on Sunday, I never thought, oh, you should start going for two.
617-779-7937. Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I just want to go back to the moon landing for a second.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I have two quick questions.
Sure.
For Rich. One is, did we ever engage in a Cold War with the Soviet Union?
Did what?
Did we ever engage in a Cold War with the Soviet Union?
Yes.
The United States and the Soviet Union.
Yes. The coldest.
So,
yes.
The second question would be this. Would it not be the crowning achievement of the Soviet Union to disprove the moon landing?
But wouldn't it also be a slap in the face to Russia to go to the moon first and to everybody else that was trying to go to the moon?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. For yes. The people that say that we never went to the moon, the Soviet Union would have absolutely made this the height of their propaganda if they could have proven that we did not go to the moon.
Yeah, but I mean, but maybe they're trying. Did. Yeah. I guess.
Never did. And we fought a Cold War, an existential Cold War with the Soviet Union. So they certainly had ample opportunity. The second thing I just wanted to say quickly was the NASA, I think, just recently released some 8K or 4K footage of the moon close up, and you can actually see the track marks and the rovers and some of the landing gear for yourself. If you pull it up, you can have someone go online, pull that stuff up, and post it on WEI right now.
Oh.
You can actually see where the rovers had landed.
Okay. All right. So we'll pull those up. We got Lucy, you find those
videos?
We have
Lucy all over this search.
I'm all over it. That guy sounded like he was on the moon.
He did. It was not the best connection in the world. Right. Oh, so I had somebody tweet in, and actually this makes more sense. We were trying to figure out why Vince Carter and all those guys were talking about the bag phones. He has a pretty good idea.
Which I used once.
This guy, whose name on Twitter is Full of Turkey, he says...
Well,
they
go to a greater authority than that.
Their point, Dale, was that technology was so far behind that phones had to come in a bag and were giant, therefore, how could they have gone to the moon? It's a good point.
Well, based on that, how could they have even launched a rocket that went into Earth orbit?
Well,
which you're not denying.
It's a good question.
I mean, John Glenn did that. With the technology so far behind, how did they even pull that off?
It's a good question. So you used a bag phone?
Once. Well, back in the day.
Who'd you call?
When I first started in Boston on radio.
Yeah.
And they would send me down to Bryant College to do reports on the Patriots, and they had this in the newsroom at old WHDH.
Yeah,
they had one of these
bag.
They had it's a bag phone, and you would put it in your car. Yeah, so you'd put it in your car, and you'd go down there.
That's pretty cool.
A couple of times I cheated.
Oh, what?
So I went down to Bryant College, and I filed my first couple of reports. I lived in Bellingham, which was right across the border.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I did my final report sitting in my driveway.
Oh, my God.
Who would know?
Dale, how
who would ever know?
Who could check up on you there?
I mean, I would have the same information.
And you got away with it.
And I'd be sitting in my driveway on my bag phone telling everybody what was going on at Bryant College.
I mean, pretty good. Here it is.
Life is like a hurricane here in Dale's world. Hockey
just
takes and
keep on trotting it out.
It's a Dale world. Might solve a mystery, rewrite sports history, Tales, ooh.
Pretty good.
I like it.
Pretty good.
617.
More where that came from.
Wherever, whoever. It's the same guy who goes, Patrice! 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.